It's commandment number 5, and my guess is that as you heard those readings, there's a number of us who've gone, phew, I'm off the hook this week. There's no heat on here. It's people like Thomas that need to hear this command. Maybe I'll have a listen and I'll pick up a few tips that I can pass on to the kids or pass on to the grandkids about how they behave. You know, this mother and father commandment doesn't actually apply to me. Not now that, you know, my parents have died, not since I got married and moved out, and not since I left home. You know, now I'm father or I'm mother. The kids, this command's for the kids at home. Like Ephesians 6 said, children, obey your parents. That's what the command's about. Well, I think as we spend time considering this command, we'll all realize that the command has challenges for all of us. Before we begin focusing in on the command, can I get you to just take your eyes back to Exodus chapter 20, verse 1? Because it's important for us to keep, particularly as we're working sort of almost topically through these 10 commandments, to keep in mind what's the context. The context, chapter 20, verse 1, God spoke all of these words saying, I am the Lord your God, I am Yahweh your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of a house of slavery. Okay, these words, these commandments are about living as the people of God. They're about showing the world the character of the God who has rescued Israel. I hope you heard it in as Papa Judd read his story, read the Bible to the children. This is about living so that the world will know who is the God that we worship, who is the God that we serve and honor. So the commandments give us a glimpse of the nature and character of God. And as we understand more of who God is, it ought to be translated in the way that we live our lives. For us, it's as followers of the Lord Jesus, who's delivered us not from Egypt, but from slavery to sin through his sacrificial death on the cross for us. So I'm going to pray, lead us in prayer, asking God to help us understand more of him, and that as we understand more of him, that our lives will be changed and shaped by it. So please join me. Dear God, we pray that by your word you would teach us more of who you are, more of how you would have us live as followers of Christ, and that you would help us by the grace of the Holy Spirit to walk in them. Knowing lives changed is not only pleasing to you, but is the right and proper response of honour to the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. First of all, what's the scope of the command? Now, what does it take in? Takes in that we should honour all those who God has placed over us. The focus is on parents, mothers and fathers, but the scope of it is that we should honour all those who God has placed over us. In whatever area of life, we are to honour them. It's a whole lot more than simply parents. Now, a sweep through the Bible's teaching, we begin with God creating the world. He made man, male and female. And they were to rule the world, rule creation, under his authority. And so when Adam and Eve sinned, at that point they failed to honour God, their father. They disobeyed him. They didn't trust his word. And throughout Genesis, as we read through the book of Genesis, over and over again we see the destruction of relationships as father and mother are not honoured, as father and mother themselves fail to honour the position God has given them. By the time we get to the Ten Commandments, God's chosen his particular people, he's called them out and rescued them from Egypt. Out of all the nations, these are his chosen ones. And he's about to deliver them into a land of their very own, a land described as a land flowing with milk and honey. And he takes them back to basics. As my people, living distinctly in the land that I am giving you, honour your mother and father, that your days may be long in the land I'm giving you. Again, what's happened already in the Bible? When Adam and Eve sinned, they were cast out of the land in which they lived, the Garden of Eden. If Israel follow their lead, they fail to honour God by failing to honour their father and mother, they too will be put out of the land that God is giving them. That is the challenge to them. It is a demanding command with long-ranging consequences. It's a serious command that establishes the heart of a people's culture. It's a serious command that establishes how we will relate one to another. And remember, as quick as our ears are to jump to, children, obey your parents, do you think in the structure of the Ten Commandments, after the first four have largely been focused on how do we relate us to God, do you think the first one that talks about how we relate to one another is actually just focused at the kids? It's talking to all of us, as the people of God, as the community of Israel. Right? Who's gathered there to receive these commands? It's the adult community of Israel. Adults who largely were not dependent upon their parents. In fact, the adults were, a lot of them had parents who were dependent upon them. Right? This is a fabric of the community stuff. How do we relate? How do we operate as the people of God? And it's serious stuff. So I'm going to take you through a whole series of Bible verses now. They're all going to come up on the screen. Exodus chapter 21, verses 15 and 17. Whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death. Whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. So curse or strike, he shall be put to death. Deuteronomy chapter 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, he will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. God's pretty serious about this command, isn't it? Society, the people of God, together enforcing this. Presumably underneath it, they're teaching one another and reinforcing it. That we would honour our parents. And what about these Proverbs? Chapter 15, verse 20. A wise son makes a father a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Chapter 19, verse 26. He who does violence to his father and chases away his mother is a son who brings shame and reproach. Chapter 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by vultures. Pretty gruesome picture of judgment, isn't it? Chapter 23, verse 22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. The detail of this command is serious. It's challenging too, isn't it? A bunch of sinners in the world, each thinking I'm more important than the next person. And we're to honour our parents. And there's wide ramifications of the life of God's people as we live as an example in this world. When we turn to the New Testament, the writers of the New Testament are no less serious. The Apostle Paul sees the continuance of this command as deadly serious. In Romans 1, 28 to 32, Paul says, since the people didn't see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. And he follows with a list of horrendous sins. And smack dab in the middle of it is disobedience to parents. And he finishes with these words, though they knew God's decrees that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. It's not good if we run around disobeying our parents and not honouring them. Later in what was probably Paul's last letter to Timothy, he writes, in the last days will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, and on goes the list, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. And he finishes by saying, avoid such people. Part of living an ungodly lifestyle is dishonoring your parents. It sounds really harsh, doesn't it? John Calvin, one of the great reformers from the 1500s, said, those who abusively or stubbornly violate parental authority are monsters, not men. If we run around violating this command of authority, of honouring our parents, that person is capable of the most drastic spiritual error. And they are in grave spiritual danger. Right? This isn't just a matter of morals, where the naughty, disobedient child embarrasses the parents. This kind of disobedience reflects a spiritual problem that can lead down the path of destruction. Where did the path lead for Adam and Eve? Where will the path lead for the people of Israel as they turn from God? Well, it'll be expulsion from God's place. It'll be expulsion from the people of God. Last week when we talked about the Sabbath, we were reminded of what it says, what the writer of the Hebrews says, make every effort to enter that rest. Don't fall as the people of Israel did in the wilderness. This command demands of us a proper respect of parental authority, and it calls us to accept and take seriously our duty to honour our parents. In Matthew chapter 15, you find Jesus applying this to the people of his day. The Pharisees, who were the religious leaders, they came to Jesus asking him questions, as they often did. They asked him one day, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? Jesus replied, wait a minute, why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your traditions? Right, what comes first, your traditions or the word of God? Jesus said, God commanded, honour your father and your mother, and whoever reviles them, whoever speaks evil of father or mother, must surely die. Right, bringing back the seriousness of this issue. And Jesus goes on, but you Pharisees say, if anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me, what I would have given to you, has been given to God, you say, Pharisees, that you don't need to honour your father. So for the sake of your tradition, you've made void the word of God. Well, I'm independent. I can do what I like, can't I? So I don't need to listen to my parents. I don't need to honour them anymore. Jesus is saying, don't go running some semi-spiritual reason encouraging people not to fulfil their obligation to honour, to care, to respect, to obey, to be grateful for their parents. Jesus says, how dare you mess with the word of God? 2 Timothy 3 says, avoid such people. It's a challenge, isn't it, for Christians today? We live, and noticeably so, we live in a country, in a culture that doesn't like authority. Except, of course, if it's my own authority, I don't mind that. That's a good authority, but I don't like others having authority over me. We live in a culture as well that doesn't particularly regard well old age. We want eternal youth. We work hard to maintain our youth, and we don't look forward to the days where we slow down and our lives and our liveliness peters out. Now, there's cultures that value eldership and seniority. Our culture values merit and achievement. Now, you personally may have a high regard for the authority and honour of parents and of the aged. But even if you do, it is under assault. Parental authority is disregarded. I've been party to many a conversation with people lamenting the breakdown of discipline, lamenting the lack of authority at home and in school. We've seen it on our TVs, haven't we, in this past week or so, with the riots taking place in Britain. We've seen it in recent years with the riots down in Macquarie Fields and the ones in Redfern. We live in a day with unprecedented assaults on the family and upon authority. And we who are Christians need to heed the demands of this command. The demand in its broadest terms is knowing that someone has been placed over us by God. We are to afford them, we are to give them honour. We do it through respect, we do it through obedience, we do it through gratefulness. And can I say, it makes no difference, this is really important and difficult for us to get, it makes no difference whether our superiors are worthy or unworthy of honour. For whatever they are, they have that position through God's providence. We are to work out how to honour all those who God has placed over us in some way. Now in the New Testament, it's applied to governments who we're to pray for, says 1 Timothy 2, the governments who we're to obey, Romans 13. It's applied to Christians and how we relate to one another in 1 Timothy 5. It's applied to church authorities. It also has implications for us in the workplace. I raise those issues for you to consider. If you'd like me to sit down on the couch, we can take another hour or so and we can go through all of those, but we might just stick to parents, hey? We need to come to parents, the family context. What's the reality of our lives? How do we honour our parents today? Can I say, Christians as a whole have led the way for our society because we run on a different standard. We run by God's ways. The bulk of aged care services and other care groups come from Christian roots. Now, those who know of and have been involved with the community nursing programs in this country, they started with the Anglican Church back in the mid-1800s. Now, the government only took it over 30 or 40 years ago. Christians have led the way in honouring our parents in those organised ways. But personally, for each of us, what is the reality? What does it mean for us today as followers of Jesus? I've got seven things to throw at you. The first one is care. As children, we have the opportunity to honour our parents by caring for them well, particularly in a world where we're living longer. Our culture sidelines the elderly. We have homes to cater for them, and there are some really good practical reasons why we have them. But we still need to assume responsibility. Right? There's an ethicist in Princeton University in the United States. Ethics is, you know, how do we live and what do we base decisions on and stuff. He argues that since on average half a person's lifelong medical expenses occur in the last 6 months of life, then we should at a certain point euthanize people. You believe that? His ethic is based on greed. Money drives it. Friends, we need to assume responsibility. Now, how we do that is going to differ in different situations. The principle is the point, though. Right? Jesus pointed out in no uncertain terms to the Pharisees, there's no religious clause to hide behind to relieve you of this care, the opportunity to honour your parents by caring for them in their old age or ill health. We need to take that seriously. Second thing, grandparents. Grandparents need to honour their children as parents. I know it's nice to play the cool grandparents role, to let the grandkids get away with stuff. You want to enjoy the grandkids, you want them to enjoy you. But as grandparents, your actions teach the children how to honour their parents. So do you honour your children as the parents of your grandchildren? Do you keep their wishes? Do you back their discipline? Do you adhere to their ways? If there's differences, you need to honour one another. Now, it may mean that you need to sit down and talk things through with your children and how they do things. But can I urge grandparents, or those of us when we become grandparents, that we honour our children as the parents of our grandchildren. Third thing, parents, teach our children to honour you and other adults. It's good to engage with children. Education and learning is more interactive and hands-on, but there are parents and there are children. There are distinct roles that God has created for us to live in and to maintain. And as much as various human rights folk want to push sameness, God has made us with differences. So let's maintain them, respect those differences, but let's value our children as little people who we want to see grow up to be adults, serving and loving the Lord Jesus. Fourth words, how do you speak of your parents? How do you speak of your parents, whether they're living or not? Do you honour them with the way that you speak about them? Or do you run them into the ground? Is there gratefulness or bitterness about your parents? Is there compassionate understanding or self-righteous indignation? One Peter chapter 3 says, whoever desires to love life and see good days, let them keep their tongue from evil and their lips from speaking deceit. Let them turn away from evil and do good. Let them seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. What are the words that come out of your mouth, particularly in relation to your parents? Number five, husbands and wives. As husband and wife, as father and mother, do we honour one another? This includes parents that are separated for one reason or another. See, in the way that we honour one another, we teach our children, don't we? Do we back each other? Do we let the children play us off against each other? Do we speak well of the other partner? Do we love them? Are we thankful for them? How do we honour them? Number six, in the church. Earlier I made reference to 1 Timothy chapter 5 that describes the church as a family. Around us are brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers. I don't know how many of you could see what was happening down the front when Steve was reading the story to the children. But there were big sisters down here looking after the little ones. There were mothers down here. And there was even a surrogate grandpa came down the front with one of the children. We are to honour one another as family. For in Christ, that is what we are. Jesus himself described it this way. When Jesus in Matthew chapter 12 was talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside. They want to speak to you. He replied, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he pointed to his disciples and said, here are my mother. Here is my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Those who are with you in Christ are your mother and father and brother and sister. Friends, I know there's some difficult practical issues for people to deal with, particularly when we've been hurt and let down, when relationships have broken down, when we've been hurt and let down in significant ways. And I suspect this raises a lot of issues for many of us here today. As a church, God has joined us together. He's ranged us as a people in this place. We're not perfect, but we want to love each other. We want to honour Christ and we want to help one another mature in Christ. If you've got issues that you need to talk through and work through or deal with, we're here to help one another. Don't allow guilt to grab hold of you. Don't let sin take you down and drag you from God. Let's deal with it. Let's confront these issues and ask, how do we honour our mother and father as we honour the Lord Jesus whom we follow? Finally, but what about the exceptions? What about the exceptions? It was always a great debate, particularly when I was younger and you're in youth group and things like that. It doesn't mean I've got to do what mum and dad say no matter what. Is there a time when, as a child, I outgrow this command? Is there a time where as a child I don't have to obey my parents anymore? It is where we want to run to, isn't it? Where's the escape clause? Can I encourage us to be slow to look for the get-out clause? Be slow to claim the exception. Often, more often than not, it's our selfish, sin-laden self that's driving that looking for a get-out clause. It's our passion to carry on in our own sin rather than repent and swallow our pride and honour God and those He's called us to honour. That said, there are exceptions. There are abusive parents. There are parents who expect you to do things that are against God's commands. There are parents who have been extremely neglectful and incompetent, who may have abandoned you in one way or another. How do you honour your father and mother in these circumstances? As an exception, it isn't that I don't have to do it. So the first thing to say is it doesn't remove the command. Secondly, there are ways of honouring without approving of the behaviour. There are ways of honouring without enabling the continuance of that bad behaviour. Now, I can't go through all the scenarios and all the examples. They are difficult things to work through. But the utter failure of a parent to relate to you properly as the Lord commands in His Word, and as Paul specifically says in Ephesians 6, it doesn't remove all obligation on our part. Now, we need to think through carefully, how do we apply this command? We need to make sure that we don't set bars that are not what the Bible sets on these bars. We ought to start with prayer, asking God to help us deal with it, asking God to help us honour Him first and foremost by honouring our parents. Now, there's some seriously tough issues to deal with. I'd encourage you to find a godly person who loves the Lord Jesus to help you walk and work through this. He doesn't bring us together to do things on our own. These issues of honouring our fathers and mothers are not old-fashioned. They're not out of date. They are timely and desperately needed for our day. But it's only Jesus who can enable us to live this way and change our ways. Right? It's not just pull up your socks and do better. You and I need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how we navigate our way through these tough issues. For as broad as the scope of this command is, and as serious as the detail of this command is, there is something more important that drives our honouring of our parents. And that is that we live under the authority of Christ and we seek to honour Him in all things. If we've been in a pattern of behaviour which is out of step with following the Lord Jesus, repent. Turn back to Him. There is forgiveness at the foot of the cross. Can't give any guarantees for how parents will respond. But let me assure you, in Christ there is forgiveness. In Christ and His Word and by the power of the Holy Spirit, He gives us the grace to change. He is able to do infinitely more than we ever dream or imagine. The Lord Jesus gave His life to save us from our sins, to bring us into new life. His grace is sufficient for us. We need to let go and trust Him and honour Him. So I urge you to honour your parents with respect and obedience and thankfulness and enjoy life in this land that God has given us and the glory of His eternal land that awaits. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we, through Your Word, can know You, that we can know Your love in the Lord Jesus, and the power of Your Spirit in our lives. We can look to You and think, If only our parents were like you, it would make it a whole lot easier to honour them. But Father, we are just like our parents in so many ways. We are sinners in need of your forgiveness. Father, as we live to honour the Lord Jesus in all that we do, please give us the grace to honour our parents, to love them, to speak well of them, to care for them, to respect them, to obey them where we need to obey them. Father, in ourselves we don't have the strength or the capacity to do that well. We need your help. Father, thank you that you saved us to be a people who know you and live in a way that reflects you and your character and your ways. Help us to support one another. Help us encourage one another to take your word seriously and to change our lives in accordance with it. Please strengthen us and help us to be a godly people who honour you and honour our parents in all that we do. Amen.